The next couple of weeks, I am excited because we are going to do a series, and it's our Culture Carrier series. Every November, starting last year, we take the month of November to celebrate you, to celebrate people in the church who they just rise above. And the thing about this that's tough is I could pick like half of you to celebrate on these days. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at different areas and different parts of Radiant Life Church and of what God asks us to do and what God asks us to be a part. And today I'm excited because we're going to talk about climate carriers. That's the word we're going to use. In other words, those that raise the spiritual bar of the church, those that raise it and put it to a new level, to a new place. And I believe that God has a whole nother level for Radiant Life. He's got a whole nother place that he wants to take Radiant Life Church. In fact, just over the last couple of weeks or the last week, I've had an opportunity to schedule a few different people that are going to come and be preaching, or missionaries that are going to come and for prayer time. And we're going to have, even right before Easter, I'm excited, we're going to have a Passover, a Jewish guy that's going to walk us through the Passover and what that looks like. And I encourage you, the Wednesday before Easter, you can plan it now. Don't go on vacation, but be here. And I believe God wants to help us understand the Word, understand who he is, understand what he is all about. And when we do, then, wow, I believe he's going to move in us and through us as a church in a whole nother place. But today we're going to look at that first, that climate carrier, those that raise the spiritual climate of the church. And when I began to think about this, I began to think, what in the Bible, who in the Bible would be perfect? Who would be the one to be able to say, wow, they really raised the spiritual climate. They really did something special. They took someone from a certain point and got them to a point where they could see things maybe in a new way or in an exciting way, or maybe take a step in their spiritual journey. And so I began to pray and think and talk to my sermon team and just look and say, Lord, what would you do? How would you speak? And I didn't get very far into the New Testament, and all of a sudden, I found myself in Luke chapter 2. And Luke chapter 2 is amazing because it talks about Jesus. It talks about Jesus growing up. It talks about his early years. It talks about, and there's not a lot. We just get a little bit when he's a baby, when he's an infant, running away from the people that want to hurt him, and then with his family, of course. And then all of a sudden, he is 12 years old. And Luke chapter 2, the most amazing story to me is when they go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of the Passover. They're there to be a part, and this is his first year because he's just 12. He's just the age where he gets to come and be an active part. At 12, he would be counted as a man. And the story we're going to look at today is that story, what happened. But before we read it, I just want to set you up, especially maybe the ladies in the room. Maybe even by show of hands here in a minute, is there anybody that you had children and maybe you were in a Kohl's or you were wherever you were and all of a sudden your child was gone? You couldn't find them, you couldn't see them. You know, maybe it was 3 seconds or maybe it was 3 minutes. Anybody, you've been in that spot and your heart raced, and yeah, there's a lot of you. Some of you, ladies, you really keep good control of your children because, yeah, I see Minnie Herrick back there. I've heard your story. If you want to have a great story, you just should talk to her, and she'll have you, I don't know, either laughing or roll, or like your stomach and your throat. I'm one or the other, depending how you are. But man, can you imagine losing your child for a few minutes, maybe a few seconds even? Where'd they go? But can you imagine going on vacation, and when you're on vacation, you drive all the way home from Florida to Dublin? And then you and your spouse were driving in separate cars, which that would be weird, but hey, people do it to church, so why not on vacation? And all of a sudden you get home, and when you get home, you pull in the driveway, you're like, yes, this is great, we're home, only to realize that your child was not with either one of you, and you had to turn around and drive back to Florida so that you could find your child. Now, basically, that's what happens in the story we're about to read. That's what happens. They go a day away from the temple, from Jerusalem, from where they celebrated the Passover. And then they get together and say, Jesus is with you, right? You've got him hidden somewhere. He's got to be. He's with you. And the other one's like, no. So they start to frantically look around for Jesus. They start to frantically say, they're with a big group of people, a caravan, and they're like, I'm sure he's just in, you know, Johnny's tent, or he's just in that, in there with them, or, and all of a sudden they realize Jesus is not there. So I just want you to, as we're reading this, can you just get that just a little bit? Now maybe on the other side, maybe students, maybe one of you 12 years old, can you imagine being on vacation and all of a sudden you are there by yourself? You've got, you're there, it's all you. You always have said, I just want to be an adult, or I just want to do what I want to do. But then all of a sudden you are all by yourself. You are an adult. You are there all by your little lonesome. And that is the position that Jesus finds himself here. Now Jesus responds pretty well. We're going to see here in a moment. Maybe better than most of our 12-year-olds. In fact, when we're done, if you think your 12-year-old would do as well as Jesus did, then you should teach all of our parenting classes from now on. Because Jesus did pretty well. But man, the moment was intense. It was a crazy time. And so I just wanted to set that up for you as we look to Luke 2, 41 through 52. It says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, but then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? I thought he got off pretty easy with why have you treated us so, personally. I don't know if it would have gone quite as well for me, but I'm not sure. But behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And when he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was, or then he came down to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Lord, I pray that this morning as we look into your word, as we look at an interesting, amazing story where Jesus, you yourself were able to sit and ask questions and talk and able to grow. And I believe that you got a revelation, Lord, even deeper than you had to that point of who you were and who God was. Lord, I pray that today you would help us to grow and to apply these words to our hearts. Lord, to be climate carriers, to be people that spiritually raise the climate of everyone around us in everything we do. We lift you up, Jesus. We exalt you and we praise you. So this morning, as we look into this, I just pulled out a few things that to me stood out, that jumped, that kind of grabbed my heart. And the first is that there was a climate of opportunity around Jesus. It said that Mary and Joseph every year went down to Jerusalem for the Passover. It means that they were there. They were apart. It wasn't something that once every long time they did, but every time it was available, they went. And so I would say in our day, some of you are like, yes, so I can go to church once a year. That's perfect. I can do that. No, for many of us, that's you. You were here every single Sunday morning. You were here maybe every single Wednesday night. I can say our girls' ministries and our rural rangers, guess what? There's a whole bunch of people that are here every single week because they love and they pour out and they pour the Spirit into the kids and mentor them. But there's so many that you're just a part of Radiant Life Church. You jump in and every single week you come. Whether it's convenient, whether it's easy, whether it's just the norm, or whether, man, it's way out of the norm, or whether it's not what you grew up with, or it's not how you used to be, but all of a sudden God has called you. And there's opportunity for you, there's opportunity for your children, there's opportunity for the people around you, because you are simply faithful to do what God has called you to do. His parents went up every single year. But at 12, everything changed. He went up to the feast as a man. This was the law that you had to go to the Passover if you were within 15 miles of Jerusalem. And the goal is that every Jew would want to go and be a part of the Passover at least once in their life. It was a huge deal. And this was Jesus' year. This was his first time to partake of such an amazing moment. Can you just imagine Jesus, who he's God, he became a man, he is now walking the earth, he's growing up just like you and I had to grow up. He just did it somehow without sinning. God's pretty awesome. Jesus is amazing. But he had to grow. Can you imagine the excitement that must have happened in his life? He had to have already had some understanding. I'm not quite like the other children. I don't know about you, but if you could have not sinned growing up, you would not have been like the other children. You definitely would not have been like me, right? Just that right there, you'd say something is different. And Jesus, he all of a sudden has the excitement of going to the temple, of the ritual, the sacrifices, all of the different things that were provided for him. And climate carriers provide opportunities for God to show up. Some of you parents in this room, I want to say thank you for getting your kids to events like Reach Conference that's going to happen this weekend, right? You sacrifice to pay, you sacrifice for camps, you sacrifice for missions trips because you're giving opportunity for God to show up. I want to thank you if you make your kids come to church, if they live in your home. I think it's a great rule, a great, great rule. If they live with you, make them come to church with you. It's a great opportunity. But we also have the opportunity in our own heart, in our own life, to give ourselves the responsibility and the moments for God to show up. We show up so God can move. We get with our friends, our family here, so that God can move. We come together maybe when we don't even feel that good because we believe God can move in our circumstance. He can move in our situation. He can change your reality. But we have to give God the opportunity, and normally it's more about giving ourselves the opportunity to see what God is already doing. He's already shown, he's already done it. He's done the work on the cross. We have to be people that provide opportunities for God to show up in our lives, in the lives of those that we lead and those that are around us. Climate of opportunity, but there's also a climate of learning that we see. It says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Now, once again, I mentioned 3 days. How this would have worked is as a caravan, they would have all traveled a day away. Many times, and I found this to be super fascinating because this always was a question in my mind, like, how could it be? But a lot of times, the women, they didn't want to go as fast as the men would. This sounds really weird or selfish maybe by men, I'm not sure. But so a lot of times, the ladies would actually get up earlier and they would begin to travel first, that way the men could travel at their pace later on and go faster, and the ladies could be a little bit more relaxed in their travel. I found that to be so enlightening. Like, how could this have happened? It's very possible that they traveled in different speeds and they got to the same place at night. So whether that's exactly how this caravan worked or not, it'd be like if all of us, a big family, started going and all of a sudden we get to the destination and realize Jesus simply is not there. So then they had to turn around the next day and go back, and then they had to find him, which is a pretty large place, Jerusalem. It's not somewhere that you just go and there he is. So it took 3 days. And Jesus is in the temple. Jesus is with the Jewish teachers, the doctors of the law, and they taught and disputed in synagogues or wherever they could find an audience. And it's interesting to me that there are disciples. It's important, in fact, that the disciples were allowed to ask questions. Jesus wasn't sitting in there in the temple like, hey, I disagree with you. Or he wasn't doing something that was outside of the norm. But instead, these guys would have absolutely loved the fact that he cared. And in this case, that he cared so much and had such good questions that they were amazed. They were astonished by what he did, by his questions, by who he was, and by the things that he brought to light that they maybe, you can imagine, might not have had all the answers, might not have known all of the information that he was asking or that he was looking for. But I believe that these teachers, they helped fuel Jesus' desire to understand the word. I think Jesus showed up, and because there were a group of people that got to be a part, that let him participate, even as a young man, to understand for himself who God was in a greater level, to understand maybe his calling in life, to understand the relationship between his heavenly Father and himself, I believe that these teachers of the law, that created a climate of learning, made it so that Jesus had a realization that changed all of our future and all of our lives, because people were willing to pour into him. Climate carriers instill a desire to learn that leads to new possibilities. These guys, they made a difference. When I look over here at our students, I believe that there have been teachers and commanders and parents that have been pouring into your lives and so many others in the room and in the building next door. God has been able to speak to you. And I find it interesting that if you are part of this church, the only way you don't jump into some sort of teaching or foundations or learning situation that's outside of this is if you just simply don't want to. Because there's lots of opportunities. There's ladies' Bible studies. There's Men 33, the series on many nights of the week. There's students and children and all of these different opportunities. But Jesus took these guys up on a climate that had been set up, a climate to ask questions, a climate to learn. And he was fueled to know and to grow and to learn more. He was fueled to experience new things. And I believe that when there's new possibilities, when there's a desire to learn, that all of a sudden, a climate of revelation takes hold. We don't just realize things without asking questions. We don't just realize things without being put in a place where we have an opportunity to learn and to grow. We don't see miracles happen unless we're at a place where people are praying for miracles to happen. We don't see the sick, they come back, or even in other countries, and hopefully I'm believing right here at Radiant Life Church, we don't see a dead person come back to life that like happened in the New Testament. If there aren't people and we're not willing to pray and to believe that God is going to do it, we're not going to see it unless we experience those opportunities to learn, those opportunities to know him more. There was a climate of revelation. In verse 48, it says, "And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.' And he said to them, 'Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?'" Something happens very interesting in this portion of scripture. "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I." Your father and I have been searching. Your father and I have been looking. Your father and I have been about what we need to do to find you. And Jesus responds with, I think, maybe the most amazing response that he could have. He says, "Why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" I believe that to some degree, at 12 years old, sitting around with these teachers and doctors of the law in the temple, that maybe there was a greater or a full realization of who he was. There was a fuller realization that God was his father. And not just like all of us would have that now because we understand so much after Jesus, but I believe that he realized to a greater level, and maybe, who knows, in this way, maybe for the first time, to say, "I am truly God's son. I am Jesus. I'm the son of God." I believe that there was something that happened at 12 years old when people poured into him, when they raised the spiritual climate, that he could all of a sudden grasp to another degree who he was. It says they were astonished. It says they were amazed. It says that just a word that was used for things like when the disciples began to speak in tongues, or Saul's conversion, or the Holy Spirit coming upon Gentiles, like amazing moments in the life of the church. That's the word that was used, that was only used, I think, 6 times in the New Testament, because Jesus had realized something. Jesus had realized something in the spirit, and revelation happened. And you and I get to be a part of raising the spiritual climate, of letting people ask questions and letting people learn, so that you and I can have revelation of who we are, of who God has called you to be, who God has made you to be. And you get to do the same with those that are maybe coming behind you. And whether it's a young person that is young in age, or maybe it's someone that for the first time comes and receives Jesus and understands who he is, and we get to bring those that are young in the Lord and give them a place where they can learn and give them opportunities where they can all of a sudden have a revelation that blows them away. I believe that Jesus, his whole life, obviously he was growing and maturing and stepping into who God had him to be and all, realizing more and more, wow, I think I am God. But I don't think at, you know, when he was a baby, I'm not sure that while he was having his diaper changed, he quite understood the fullness of who he was. I don't think so. I think God spoke to him and brought him along. And this moment, I believe, was a culmination, one of those powerful moments. And I believe that's why it was included in the Bible. That's why at 12 years old, it would be put here to say Jesus, through his parents, through these teachers, through people that cared, took a step in revelation in who he was. He began to realize. Climate carriers call out the amazing hand of God on those around them. Climate carriers, you don't just do your own thing, but you begin to speak life and truth over people around you. You begin to call out when you see a young person or someone that's younger in the Lord. You begin to speak truth over them, what God has called them to, maybe even before they can see it themselves. That is what we are called to do as the church. That's what we are called to do in raising up and building up people, the world around us. God loves you. He cares for you, and he wants to show you so you can then show others and experience revelation that changes your life and those around you. Climate of revelation. I find it interesting, the next portion is that there's a climate of faithfulness. It says, and they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Now, when I look at this story, first of all, it says they did not understand the saying he spoke to them. I'm a little bit confused. Like that exact verse, angels showed up saying who Jesus was. Mary had an angel come to her and say that you're going to bear God's son. You're going to be the mother. And she says, how? That's impossible. Then the Holy Spirit is going to impregnate you, basically, that you're going to have and carry the Son of God. She already knew this. Joseph already knew this. And there's times, I think, in our lives when we know things, when we should know things, but where we don't necessarily quite yet, we can't quite grasp it. And I believe that it says that she treasured up all these things in her heart. And that Jesus was submissive to Mary and Joseph. He was obedient to them. He went with them. He did what he was supposed to do. I believe that from 12 until 30-some, when he begins his public ministry, can you imagine being Jesus, knowing you're God, knowing that you're the Son of God, and just saying, yes, Dad, I will nail that board together. Like, right? I mean, that's what Jesus had to do. And Mary and Joseph, they had to at the same time be faithful to say, I don't understand all that God is doing in Jesus. I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand every word, but I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to treasure it in my heart, and I'm going to let God move and let God speak and let God reveal. And I believe that in our lives, there's moments when we simply have to be faithful to the voice of the Lord. There's moments when it's not about my feeling, it's not about what I think or what I feel, but it's about my commitment, and I have to be faithful to say, even if I don't get it, even if I don't understand, God, I know you're true and you're holy. I've seen a revelation, I've experienced your love, and I'm just gonna treasure in my heart what you're speaking. And God, you're going to reveal the fullness of that when the time is right. And I believe in Mary's life, that took place. In Jesus' life, he had received, but then he had to be faithful, not to run ahead of what his calling was, but to go back and to be a 12 and then a 13-year-old and a 14-year-old, to live a sinless life, which still is amazing. Jesus, he did it for us. He went before us. And each of us have the opportunity. Are we going to walk where we are in faithfulness? Or when I feel something, or when I just, it's a little difficult, am I going to run the other way? And if you're going to be a climate carrier, if you're going to raise the spiritual bar, we've got to be people of faithfulness. We've got to be people that go all in with the things of God. Climate carriers go with God, with what God is doing, over their own comfort and feelings. And I encourage you, if that's not how you live your life, let's begin to put our comfort second, all right, to what God is doing. Let's begin to go with what God says, not what I feel, but what he is saying and what he is doing. When I think of faithfulness in this story, I think of these guys that got to speak life and were amazed by Jesus. In fact, how would Mary have known all the things that were happening? I would guess the guys had to tell Mary, wow, Jesus is awesome. Someone had to write it down here in Luke. That probably came from Mary. So she had to be told a little bit of what he was doing, what he was saying. This changed them. It had to have changed them. It had to have spoke to them. You would think they would remember an encounter like that. But there's age-wise, it would be very possible that these guys could have been alive when Jesus was there. 20-some years later, very reasonable. They could have been over 30, you know, 40 in that range. They could have, when Jesus walked the earth, been, you know, 50-ish, 60, you know, right in that range. We don't know their age, but it would have been possible that they would have been there when Jesus walked the earth. They could have been a part of that. And we don't know what their story looked like, but we also don't see any of those guys or maybe disciples of theirs that stood up for Jesus. We don't see that written. We don't know what happened, but I encourage you that when we pour into people, when we let people learn, there's moments that all of a sudden we've got to be able and be willing to be faithful to say, God uses them, God is showing yourself through them, and I'm just going to trust him and I'm going to support. And I am so thankful that at Radiant Life Church, you are a church that love our next generations, that love the kids and love the youth, and you get to be a part of pouring into them. Even when sometimes on a preference or a comfort, some things it's like, oh man, are they really going to do that, right? Some of you, you could be honest, I'm not going to make you lift your hand, but there's things sometimes when kids do, you're like, why? What is wrong? And there's times I think in my life and your life where we have to be faithful to God, and we've got to be faithful because we can help those that are coming behind us. We can help those that may even amaze us, but sometimes we have to help those that they're not amazing us, right? How many people went and they asked questions that I guarantee you these guys, I don't need to be written here, I guarantee you they're like, what is wrong with you? This is not that difficult. Like, this is not that hard. Like, I promise you, if you've taught anything, you know that because you've experienced it yourself. And these guys had to be faithful to wait until someone wanted to hear it, wanted to learn it, wanted to experience it. And then we've got to be faithful to experience it and hold on and bring them behind us so that our future generations can experience God and can continue to do it with us holding up their hands, cheering them on to watch them be successful in ministry. And I am so proud of Radiant Life Church because that's the kind of church that you are, that we are. The last one today is that a climate carrier carries a climate of growing favor. I believe that when we walk in the presence of God, when we spend time with him, when we spend time and we've experienced revelation, we're walking in faithfulness, we've been in the opportunities, we've learned, we've let these things happen in our life, that verse 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And I believe that that is what should happen in every single one of our lives. Every single one of us should grow in the wisdom and the favor of God and man, right? We should understand his statutes. We should understand who he is. We should understand that God is everything. We should grow in him. Jesus had the ability here of being young, so he got to grow in who he was as a man physically. Some of us maybe were on the other side of that. In fact, yesterday we were outside. We were carrying rock and stone, and so a lot of rock, actually. I don't know, several, a lot, let's just say, a couple of trailer fulls, and then did some mulching. And so I talked to some of the guys this morning, like, wow, looks like you're walking. That's a good thing. And I think all of us pretty much are like, yeah, we're walking. I'm doing okay. I'm going to make it. Whether it's our legs, the mud out there was like 6 inches deep. If you stepped off of the where we're supposed to walk, you just sink, and then your foot would stay, your boot would, or your foot would come out, your boot would stay, because it was just like would suck you in. But we don't all have the ability to grow from 12 to 30, but we all have the ability to grow in who God is calling us to be. We have the ability this morning to say, I'm not going to be who I was last week. I'm going to be all God has for me to be this week. I'm not going to rest in my mess ups and mistake of yesteryear, but I'm going to walk in him and in his holiness and in what he has for me. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. But there must be a growing favor. There must be something where we keep growing, where we keep maturing. And I encourage you, if you are the youngest person in the room, I see some kiddos, or maybe you're the oldest person in the room, it's for every single one of us to be in the Word, to spend time with Him, to do the things at the age-appropriate place we can, to minister, to grow in Him, to pour into future generations, and to let our faith rise as we learn and experience Jesus. Climate carriers grow in wisdom, stature, and favor with both God and man. Let's never consider a person too young or too old to experience God and then be used by God. Never, on either side. Let's look to mentor others and continue to be mentored ourselves. Let's call out the giftings we see in those around us. Does someone show deep level of compassion and mercy? Do they exhibit signs of being used in the prophetic? Are they artistic, an intercessor, a teacher? Whatever it might be, fuel the flame. Fuel what God is doing in them. Climate carriers, they don't let others do what they can and should do themselves. Now, it's really touchy if you ever talk about Mary or Joseph, but wouldn't it have been a better situation if Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple and got to be a part of the whole 3 days rather than not be a part of the whole 3 days? And some times God uses situations because we won't do those things. We won't maybe do it. Maybe God never spoke that. But I encourage you, let's not let someone else do what you and I can do. Don't let someone else take the spiritual initiative when you or I can take the spiritual initiative. Parents, especially, don't hand your kids off to your schools to teach them. You are their teacher. Don't hand your kids off even to us in the church or their mentors here. You be the one that teaches and directs and guides. And you can use schools, and you can even use school system if you're in public school. You can use that as a daily time where, number one, you become an intercessor because you're sending your kids to the school. And number two, where you get to talk every day about what happened, what their experiences are, what they're learning, and get to talk and line it up with the Word of God. You have to be people that teach, especially in a world where you don't get taught what the Bible would say unless you or I are doing it. Let's teach Jesus. Climate carriers look for godly passions in others and fuel them. Let's be those kinds of people. Climate carriers direct passions that are not of God back to Him. I want to encourage you in a day when, if you turn on the TV, pretty much anything's okay. It doesn't matter. Can we be a people that when people get off track, if I ever get off track, I would love for you to come and say, hey, Pastor Chris, I don't know if that's the best, right? And can we be people that to one another, if we see a friend, if we see a family member, if we see someone around us that they're kind of getting off the road that they should be on, will you and I, to be a true climate carrier, be someone that goes and says, hey, I encourage you. Don't stop, don't quit, don't go and do your own thing, but let's focus on Jesus. Let's do what He has called us to do. I believe that Radiant Life Church is full of climate carriers. They're full of people that see the gospel and see what God is doing and see who He is and say, come on, let's do it. Let's lift the bar. Let's pray. Let's experience God. I believe it's full of person after person, family after family that's committed to the things of God. And if you're here today and some of these things you say, I don't know if those sound like me, I would encourage you today to commit your heart, commit your behavior, commit who you are to being faithful, to commit your heart to being in the presence of God, commit your heart to those opportunities to learn and to grow, commit your heart to the opportunities to experience revelation, maybe like you've never experienced before, in fact. It might look different for you than for someone else, but let God reveal Himself on a daily basis and continue to grow in favor and help those around you to do the same. As we close out this morning, I just want to take a couple of minutes, and I want to celebrate two groups of people that I believe do exactly this. I believe that they raise the climate, they raise the spiritual climate of Radiant Life Church, that they lift up what God is doing, and there's so many others that are blessed because of them and blessed because of their heart. people that are a part of our midweek Wednesday night service and prayer time. And if you're able on Wednesday night, come and join us in prayer. Come and join us in worship in the Word. It is an amazing time. It's growing to be one of my favorite times of the week, just focusing on the things of Jesus. People that have begun ministries and bring people along with them that are moving in special and in mighty ways here at Radiant Life Church, and I believe everywhere that they go. So this morning, I want to have, if I could, they don't know this is going to happen, but Francis and Sue Tharsius, if you two could make your way up here, and if Dave McFerrin, if you can make your way up here. I see Brenda, I don't think she's here this morning, and she is definitely a big part of this. But these are two couples that I believe God is using mightily in this church to see his kingdom be poured forth in the Dublin, Ohio area. And you can come right up here. We'll make you come all the way up on the stage. Both of them probably hate this. That's why they're so perfect for this sort of an award. So yesterday, Dave and I and some other, we were outside carrying. Yes, give them a five. Come on. Woo! Yes. Yes, yes. And I was so blessed by him yesterday, walking in mud up to his calves just about. Yeah. But this guy, along with his wife, Brenda, they are absolutely amazing. He had landscaped and designed all of the things for the new building. They're an active part and a huge part of our greeter team. I know as pastors, we love it when we see you guys up there because we know you're going to take care of it because you just love people. You take care of people. You're a part of our midweek service. I don't know if you ever miss a Wednesday night and spending time in the presence of Jesus. And I am so thankful for what you do and for being a part. He's an active part by being a part of our board, the Pastor's Board of Ministry. And how you become a part of the board is by being plugged in, a prayer warrior, and someone that's active in ministry. Like, that is how that happens. And I just want to tell you thank you for being someone that I believe a whole church can look up to and say, when you come in the room, whether it's out there on your knees, spreading out mulch and laying down a mat or whatever that stuff's called, people can look and say, Dave, your wife Brenda, we want to be like you. And if we follow you, we're going to be spiritually, we're going to be able to grow and mature into who God has called you to be. And on this side, Sue and Francis, these two, they are amazing people of God. Every single Sunday morning, the first Sunday when we have communion, they put it together, or if they don't, this is a great thing. They get somebody else to do it without ever asking us. Like, it just is done. We know it's going to be done. They'll ask, do you want us to do it this Sunday? And I think he stopped recently because we're like, yes, yes, absolutely. And they do it every single week. They're a part of something that I love at Radiant Life Church, which is our Asian Fellowship. And if you don't know what that's about, I don't know, there's probably 40 of you that are from India and all over the place in the Asian world, that they're a part of our church. You can look around the room today and see so many people that are a part of your fellowship. And there's others that are a part of that, Gigi, and others that help lead and guide that. But you guys do so faithfully what God has called you to do. Francis, you're our church treasurer. You just volunteer your time to be sure that the money that you give in an offering goes to the right places. And I love, if there's ever a number he's not sure of, he pulls it up in our meeting and says, hey, we should look into this, or we should look into this, because he cares about what God is doing. Both of you are prayer warriors. You're people that seek God, that go after the things of God. And I just want to say thank you. And I encourage you, Radiant Life Church, if you'd say, I don't think spiritual, climate carrier, I don't think that would be my area. I encourage you, would you let God open in your heart just a little bit more to say, God, I believe the spiritual things, the things that God does, the working hard, but God, when you move, when your Holy Spirit is poured out, when I have a time to pray or when I have time to bring people along with me, Lord, would you make that something that I want to be able to do? Every person's never going to make it on a stage because there's way too many of you. But Lord, I want to be someone that I raise the spiritual climate. And I believe when Radiant Life Church has a bunch of us that are doing it, when we all come together and we worship Jesus on Sunday morning, we have days like today when God speaks through worship, speaks through a word, speaks through the Bible, and God shows himself because we come together. And what he's doing at our house and at our job and our volunteering, what he's doing out there, we bring it together. and the spiritual climate is raised here so we can go forth as a congregation to experience and to let God move in us. So here's just a little thank you card to say thank you so much for what you do. And I appreciate both of you so much, both couples. And Brenda, be sure that you pass on our thanks to her as well. And thank you. Let's give them one more hand of applause.
Thank you.
Love you. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
You're awesome. Thank you.
You.
And as we close here, we're going to take a couple minutes. And maybe there's an area in your life right now where you know there's some sort of block when it comes to things of God, that if you want to be obedient to God, you have to do something, get rid of something, start something. You have to move to be obedient. That you need to move to a place where you have an opportunity to experience Him. Maybe you need to move to a place where you're in a climate, you put yourself in a place of learning. You put yourself in a small group or a team. You get to be a part of Foundations or one of our home groups or whatever it looks like. That you say, I am going to jump all in with God. I'm going to learn. I'm going to continue. For many of you, it's just what you do. It's the habit of your life. And for others, maybe 33, the series on which is just concluded, but the men's group on Wednesday night, or maybe our midweek prayer and worship and word time. Maybe you need to jump in and be a part. Maybe tonight you need to begin to call out, or this morning you need to begin calling out what you see in the people around you. You need to begin to speak what God is speaking to you, to the people around you, so you can tell them God is going to use you because He's told you. Maybe God is calling you to begin to speak His truth. Tonight, you say, I want to know Him. I want to grow. I want to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with my God, but also with man. I love that it puts that. It's not only God. We should be growing in favor with our world. We should be growing in favor, which means how do you speak the truth but also grow in favor? We better be led by God. We don't just walk into situations and start talking, but we say, Lord, would you speak your truth to me so that I can do all you've called me to do, so I can grow in favor, so I can make a difference in the school that I work at or in the place where I work, or my home, or whatever it is that you do. When you volunteer, Lord, would you help me to grow in favor with you, but also with man? And today, if you would just stand all over this place, and maybe there's someone in the room that you say, I am here this morning, but I've never given my heart to Jesus. I've never asked Him to forgive me of my sins. I've never asked Him to make me new. I've never asked Him just to walk beside me. The number one thing we can do is say yes to Jesus, is ask for forgiveness and jump into who He has us to be. And if this morning you're here and you say, that's me, I need a relationship with Jesus, the greatest thing is all you have to do is ask Him, Lord, would you forgive me of my sins? Lord, would you make me new? Lord, would you show yourself in my life? And He'll do it. And right now, if that's you, if you say, that's me, right in your heart, would you just take a second? Ask Him, Lord, would you forgive me? Make me new. Walk with me for the rest of my life. If you need to commit in any other way or any other area right now in your heart, would you just speak to Him? Would you ask Him, Lord, help me? Help me to walk in you. Help me to grow in you. Help me to learn. Help me to see and experience revelation from you. If Jesus can experience revelation on earth, I believe, wow, how much more can we experience? And Lord, we want to do that. So Lord, right now, I pray that each of us in this room, Lord, we would open our hearts to you. We'd experience you. We'd believe, Lord, that we're not just here on a Sunday morning and we're not just here in this world just to make it another day or to be in a social group, but we're here to raise the spiritual climate of our world. We're here at church to raise the spiritual climate within these walls so that we can be poured forth and go to make a difference in our world. Lord, help us. Help us today to go all in for the things of you and of your Spirit. We're going to take 5 minutes, a song. And if you say, I need to find a place at the altar, we'll come and pray with you. Or if you say, right where I am, would you commit yourself to God? Will you let Him show yourself, Himself to you, so this week you can walk in wisdom, in stature, in favor. You could grow in those things between God and man so you can raise the spiritual climate of the world around you. God, would you help us to raise the climate? Lord, would you help us to bring you to them? Would you help us to be you with skin on, that we get to show them you by how we live and act and what we do? Lord, this week, would you help us to raise young people around us, or those that are young in you, to help them learn, to help them grow, to help them experience you, God? Lord, we ask you to help us to be climate carriers, to carry your climate, your spirit, everywhere we go. So Lord, I pray blessing on each one today. Lord, as we go to our own sphere of influence, our own places, our own lives, God, away from here, away from this family, Lord, let us take you and make a difference. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for how you're speaking. Continue to move us towards you and the things of you. And thank you for the volunteers, countless volunteers that lift your name up, that pray, that spend time, that help those around them learn and grow and mature. And we thank you for it. And last thing, Lord, we thank you for the parents in this room. And I pray that you'd give them strength. You'd give them just an ability to walk in you, Lord, to raise their children to be like you. And maybe as an aunt, an uncle, or a grandma, or a grandpa, that we can pour into those situations. But God, thank you. Give them strength to be those that give opportunities for the children to walk in you. We love you. We thank you. And we praise you. It's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus.